May the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen. Let us quieten this morning in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Holy and righteous God, our beloved Heavenly Father, we approach you this morning with thankful hearts, remembering the many blessings that you've granted unto us, your children, those gifts that are needful for body and soul. And as we begin this new year, we again pause with prayerful hearts that your Father, you would again bless us, strengthen us, and take care of us as you have in previous days and years. In this new year, we remember the many and abundant blessings that you've granted to us. We remember our loved ones, our families. We remember our dear friends in faith, those loving escorts. But today, dear Father, we also pause with prayerful hearts, remembering those who are not today traveling as your children in your kingdom. That you, dear Father, who know the hearts of each person, would yet call those who are seeking and grant them joy of the finder. That you would reveal unto them the way that leads to the glory of heaven. We also remember those prodigal ones, those loved ones who have given in to the temptations of the enemy of souls, that you, dear Father, would soften their heart, and that you would again allow them grace to believe. We know, above all things, that this gift of faith, the gift of believing, is truly that, a gift. We are no more deserving than any others, but yet, through your grace and love, you have called each of us to be your own. We also pray for protection of your kingdom, that this kingdom would remain as that safe haven for the child of God, but also this kingdom would be that which your word says to seek first, for in seeking first your kingdom, you have promised all else to be added. And mostly this, that one day there in the glory of heaven, the child of God will rejoice in eternity, in blessedness, and in glory. Dear Father, today as we gather around your holy word, we pray for your service blessing. You know the hearts of each of us, so we simply and humbly ask that you would break those crumbs of grace so small that the weak and poor would be nourished and fed and be comforted and strengthened on this journey of living faith. We simply and humbly ask, dear Father, for your service blessing. All of this we ask in the name of your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, the second Sunday after Christmas, I will read the psalmist's text for this day, the 84th Psalm. Familiar words that are recorded there. And I will read the first four verses and the 10th and the 11th and 12th verse, the end of that psalm. The words are as follows in Jesus' name. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and a swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. For a day in the courts is, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Amen. This 84th Psalm, a very familiar and often used Psalm in the services of God's children. It has been often referred to as a song used on the journey. The child of God endeavors towards home. And it's an endeavor. There are those who have written how our journey goes from victory to victory. Victory over sin to victory over sin. We feel the effect of sin. It is a part of us. We carry this sinful portion. And this sinful portion is that which often makes the journey slow. Today, the first part of this year, 2020, when we look around us, we can very easily see, through the eyes of faith, the beauty and necessity of this kingdom of which this psalmist writes. When I was pondering this morning this text, but also life in general, I was thinking about those who are living on the outside of God's kingdom, what it must be for them. I don't know what it is exactly. God has preserved me from the time I was a young boy in His kingdom as one of His own. But I certainly have felt often the effect that sin brings. And it's a battle for the child of God. But I've thought of those on the outside of this kingdom who no longer battle against sin, but rather live in it. What can their life be like? I know the life of a child of God, and even for you little boys and girls this morning, as many of you, again, after the short break from Sunday school, you gathered again this morning, for Sunday school. I know how it is sometimes as a little boy. It's not always fun or enjoyable to get up on Sunday morning and go to Sunday school. It's often that there's a busyness in the house and mom and dad are trying to get all of the little ones pointed in the right direction and heading out the front door or out the garage door in time to attend Sunday school. And in the hubbub of life, perhaps even the mothers and fathers have pondered that, really, what is the sense or purpose? But there is a very significant purpose and a reason for these kinds of times and days for our children. There in Sunday school, we learn about God. There we learn about Jesus, about His life. We recently celebrated Christmas and now New Year's. And we remember and we ponder that which God sent as the greatest gift for us. We learn about that in Sunday school. We also learn about Jesus' teaching, how we should live as God's children, how we should treat one another with love and respect, how we should love our parents, because this is God's command, how we should love our neighbors. This is also according to God's word. But most of all, in Sunday school, and also at services, we are reminded of the importance and the blessings that come through the forgiveness of sins. This forgiveness of sins brings peace into the heart of the child of God. And this is all part of God's kingdom. It's a part of the beauty of the house of God. It is that beauty that we as God's children today see and recognize, not with our own eyes, but with the eyes of faith that God has given us. So this psalmist text is that kind of psalm where the writer longs and aches for that temple of Jerusalem. In this text it says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. And my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. We feel this longing, this sense of longing in the heart of a child of God when we walk, as one of the other psalmists has written, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We walk in this world. We are living in this world, but we are not a part of this world. And because of this, this world comes close to us, and we struggle against this. Our flesh desires nothing more than to live in the pleasures and sins of this world. But our soul, it crieth out for the living God. There is this spiritual man, this spiritual part of us. We are both natural man, but we are also a spiritual man. This natural man only knows these things of this earth. The prophet says that we are of this earth, earthy. The apostle Paul writes of that matter of resurrection, where he says we are given an earthly, well, we'll also be given an heavenly body. And that heavenly body waits in the glory of heaven. But today we are carrying this sin-corrupt portion that battles against the new man in us. And we feel the effects of that every day that we journey here in this life. And the psalmist also spoke of this. And he yearned and he ached to come into the courts of the Lord. And he talks about how this sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. And this portion of God's Word, this one verse, has been such a reminder throughout time, for me, and I'm sure for many. When it says this swallow hath found a nest for herself, a nest is a very comfortable and a secure place to be. How many of you children have seen a nest? Probably many of you. But a nest is not easily found. A nest is often hidden in a very secure place. Right behind our house, we have, right next to the deck, there's a very thick fir tree, pine tree. And there's a bird that has a nest in that tree. You can't see that nest, but you can see the bird coming and going from that tree regularly. In the spring of the year, in the summer, you can hear the little birds in that nest chirping. When mother brings food to that nest, the birds sing. There is another spot underneath our deck where robins make their nest every year. It's up amongst inside of the floor joists of the deck. And when you go out underneath that deck in the summer, maybe you're mowing the yard or cleaning up, especially in the late spring when that bird is sitting on its eggs, that mother sits there in that nest very, very still and silent. And when I watch her or that bird sitting on those eggs, it's often that that mother or that bird lowers its head only so it sees over the very edge of the nest. It feels very secure there. And I've pondered and I've stopped and I've watched those birds. And I've thought about this part of the Psalms. How this kingdom of God is for the child of God the same kind of nest. There's security here. However, this nest is not easily found. It's tucked away and hidden from the world. The world cannot see God's kingdom. God's kingdom can only be seen through the eyes of living faith. Jesus once taught that we would seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and everything else then will be added unto you. That's how important Jesus said it was to seek first. He didn't say to seek honor, riches, glory, knowledge, might, but he said to first seek kingdom of God. In Jesus' teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus also tells of the importance of seeking for this kingdom. He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So it's hidden from this world, but it can also be found. It can only be found, on the other hand, if God allows. This gift of faith is given by God. It's not something that we can take of our own strength, of our own knowledge, but rather it is given. And for this reason, we often refer to it as a grace gift. Something that God has given. Without our earning, without our merit, or anything that we have done. So we find and feel the importance of this kingdom. But also for you mothers and fathers, this is also a great blessing. When we have this kind of kingdom where we can bring our young. You mothers and fathers with me have experienced how weak and faulty as parents we are. When I think back to my days and years of parenting, there certainly isn't anything that a person can boast of. But yet, despite the weakness and the shortcomings of mom and dad, God still blesses into that home and into that family according to His will. And in a believing home, there is much need for forgiveness and grace. This is also what the psalmist writes of when he writes of the security of this kingdom. How this sparrow hath found a house or nest, and the swallow, or the sparrow hath found a house and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. We can bring our children into the care of God's kingdom. Recently, I'm sure all of us heard of that terrible event that took place down in Texas, where there was this kind of shooting. And there was a picture of that sanctuary at the time of the shooting. And when I looked at that inside of that sanctuary, it's much different than what I see today. In that picture, it looked to be only old people. But around us today, we see many, many children that God has gifted into our care. They're God's children. They have been entrusted to you, beloved mothers and fathers, to care for and to rear, to teach, to love, to instruct. And they are as blessings for you. Although it is busy, and I know from our own experience how busy life gets and how chaotic life can be with a house full of children, I also know now how quiet days can be. Those days go quickly. and another generation passes away. As we have more recently even again seen how elders have been called to their final place of rest. So it is as life goes. But this psalm was especially important and written for those children of Korah. The children of Korah were those who experienced a very difficult thing in their life. When their father ended up in heresy, he rose up with those other princes and rebelled against the teaching of God's kingdom. Korah would have had the same grandfather as Moses and Aaron did. They would have been relatives. They were of the tribe of Levi. But Korah was not satisfied with how God's kingdom was put together. Korah was not satisfied with his place in God's kingdom. And he allowed the enemy of souls into his heart and into his mind. And he rebelled against God's kingdom. In this way that when he looked at Moses and Aaron, and all they were faulty travelers as any other worker in God's kingdom. Yet God had called them to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. But that journey was a difficult journey. You remember it well in reading from scriptures. Not all things went perfectly. But so also has our life gone this way from time to time. Not all things have gone perfectly. We carry sin for corrupt individuals. But we need to battle also against those temptations that come through our flesh and through our mind. Korah gave in to this whispering and this teasing of the enemy. He wasn't satisfied with his place. He looked at Moses and Aaron and the leadership as something more than it was. Moses and Aaron, as all of the servants in God's children, in God's kingdom, have been lowered into that office. They've been called into that office to serve with the gifts that God gave. And you remember when Moses was called, he was not so pleased with that calling. In fact, he had many reasons why he wouldn't serve. Slow of speech, he couldn't speak well. He had many excuses, but for each one, God gave an alternative. When he couldn't speak, he gave him Aaron. Aaron was able to speak on behalf of Moses, and so on. Today in God's kingdom, we see it the same way. The Apostle Paul writes in the 12th chapter of Corinthians that God has set into his kingdom spiritual gifts that are needed and necessary. It is God's calling. It was God's calling also during that time of Moses. But when Korah... when he rose up against this way of God's kingdom, he sank into heresy. And the demise of Korah was a difficult one. He was swallowed up alive into the depths of perdition. Those children of Korah, this psalm was written for them. And I especially think of this one part of this text where it says that for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. We don't know what these tents of wickedness are. We could say houses of wickedness or places of wickedness. But during that time of the Israelites, the Levites, they lived among the other tribes of Israel. They didn't have their own place, but rather they lived in and among the other tribes. They were of the house of priests. And as the children of Israel on that wilderness journey, each of those tribes were given their own areas and locations when they camped. And then also around the temple, the tribe of Levi, or rather the tribe of Reuben and Benjamin and so on, were all given their own special places. And the Levites were spread throughout these tents. And those children of Korah would have heard of those sad things of which their father spoke. This heresy did not happen overnight. But rather, it took a time, a period of time, when the sin of bitterness, envy, jealousy, all of that started to raise its ugly head. They didn't recognize that as being sin, but would have spoken evil against Moses and against Aaron. And if they spoke against Moses and Aaron, they also spoke evil against God, because God had called them into this place of service. So what did these children hear in their father's house? Did they hear that voice of the Good Shepherd? Or did they rather hear that kind of sermon that comes from a person's corrupt flesh? As parents today, dear brothers and sisters, may it be that when we speak of God's kingdom in our homes, we speak of the beauty of God's kingdom. What God's kingdom means to you and what God's kingdom means to me. God's kingdom is a saving kingdom. There is beauty there. But if we look around us even this morning and we see only sinners, we'll see that for sure. We don't need to look any further than ourselves to realize that there is lots and lots of sinners in God's kingdom. And if that's what we focus on, and that's what we lose, if we lose sight of the beauty of God's kingdom, then we would be as that family of Korah, or the Korah and his followers. But the children of Korah, some or all of them, I don't know the numbers, were spared from that first heresy. And certainly then, as those of you elderly brothers and sisters who are gathered here this morning, who lived through the last heresy of 1973, when God preserved you and me through those days, through those times, we can very easily and very clearly join with these words of how God was the one to care for us. The psalmist says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. God protects his own. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." But God preserved those who endeavored by faith. So it still is, dear brothers and sisters today, that the children of God still desire to live in God's temple, where we hear the Word of God preached and spoken. Faith comes by hearing. No other way. The Bible says faith comes through hearing. Hearing by and through the Word of God. There are many worldly righteous today who would think otherwise, that they have some connection directly to God. We do have a connection with God. He is our Creator. He is our Maker. We can pray to Him, and we do pray to Him. He promises to hear our prayers and so on. But the only way for us to make it to the glory of heaven is through God's kingdom. Jacob, when he awoke from that night's dream, when he saw the angels ascending and descending from heaven, he woke up and said, "Surely this is the gate. This kingdom of God is here. It is the gate that leads to heaven." Today, brothers and sisters, God's kingdom is still the gateway that leads to heaven. It is a beautiful place. It is a place of peace and rest where the bird of heaven can rest to find comfort as we journey homeward. Today, remain believing. Uplift your hearts to believe that all sins, all doubts of the journey are forgiven in the name and precious atoning blood of Jesus. This gospel gives strength for the endeavor of faith that will one day take us to the glory of heaven. I also this morning, brothers and sisters, coming, feeling so lacking in faith, feeling so corrupt and sinful, ask that, "Can I also believe my sins and doubts forgiven? I want to believe with each of you." We also have been given this kind of a table set again before us, this table of communion. Jesus established this where we can come close, where we can eat and drink of His body and blood, to be strengthened in our faith. Jesus wants us to come that close. Come as you find yourself, weak, doubting, poor, but believing. God is gracious and righteous to all of those, and forgiving for all of those of His own. Remain traveling, believing, sins to the journey forgiven. In Jesus' name, precious atoning blood. In Jesus' name, amen.